You ever find it weird certain voices coming out of certain puppets?
Yeah. Oh, God damn it!
Dad, he's a murderer.
That's such a serious Thunderbird's line.
You should see his browsing history.
It's best not to think too much about that. Young Joe got to go to space.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
Ah. Always like that logo.
Yes, and the little sting there gives you a bit of a thrill, doesn't it? Promise of things to come.
It's whenever they did it at the concert, like, they always started off with that.
Yeah, that's right.
So the Big Rat set is actually, it's one of those things that they would never have been able to build, like, if it was live action. Like, it's so intricate.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
And yet a lot of this is in the service of just looking pretty, essentially, isn't it? Yeah, it reminds me, actually, as you've said that, of one of our previous guests who was it Kieran Shah, who would double for, I think, for other actors, that they didn't have
Superman
to build
famously,
as large a set, when it was too difficult. So, Kieran can do this, we can get Kieran to do it.
I mean, I guess, in the Superman Asia world, they would have standing sets like they have in live action.
Yeah. Like, they'd be able to piece them together, but it's interesting that all the old sets would always have to split in the middle in some way, shape, or form to get the camera where it needs to be. Because, they built all four walls of this. But again, it's one of those things where you don't really... You get wide shots of it, but you don't get a good view of the room and, the little nook they have at the end for missions and stuff.
What I find amazing, of course, is the colour and the lighting is so vibrant, and yet most of the world is watching it in black and white.
Yes.
Even at this point.
That's why it looks so great in HD.
Yeah.
And this episode, being the... I think it's like the 11th or 12th made, but it was the second to be shown, I guess because it was a space-themed one.
Yes, right.
So this was the first episode I saw when the BBC repeated the show in the 90s.
Okay.
I missed the first episode. This was the first one I ever saw.
All right.
And Chris, you were also watching those BBC repeats at that time, were you?
Yeah.
Like, was it 7:30 in the morning-ish on...
Something... So I would have missed... I would not remembered them on the first broadcast, but I would have had a VHS with them recorded on it.
Ah, right. Yeah.
I never had that.
Recorded on our next transmission.
So this is what I love about these kind of sets and where you see this hard cut from Thunderbirds to Scarlet, where suddenly the buttons become little square pieces of Perspex.
Yes.
And there's no, toothpaste knobs or anything.
Right, okay, yeah.
And that desk he was sat at there, was that reused from Renegade Rocket? Is that one from Base Concord?
It might have been.
0X there.
Oh, so it is.
Yeah.
So you say, Chris, that this might have been bumped forward.
Which Chris are you talking to?
Chris Dale.
Yes.
This might have been brought forward in the running order to capitalise on what, the space programme?
I guess so,
I guess this being 1969.
Oh, kids love space, yeah. Oh,
I never noticed the prop from Ricochet, the hanger in the background.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue, Chris.
This set is gorgeous, and we were talking about this earlier. Just that you've got a layer underneath that first floor. No one ever goes down there throughout that entire story. It's just there to make the set look bigger and more impressive, and it does.
Because they needn't have that at all, then.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And the Scarlet sets would often be like a box with some screens on it, and then Joe 90 just go completely.
Yeah. And in Scarlet, you tend to get people with very big offices.
Yeah.
And one character has a desk and the chair for the visitor is like at the opposite end of the room.
Yes.
But here's the set we were talking about, the reused MSV set.
Oh, right.
And these spooling tape things behind them there, they end up in the interior of Skydiver, don't they, some of them?
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think they wind up in UFO because those bits of those sets end up getting used into things like Blake 7 and Doctor Who.
And this was in The Prisoner, that countdown clock. I think it may have come from Thunderbird's Argo, possibly.
It does, it's the 0X one.
Yeah.
Open. Blast off, minus 30. Ignition system set. Switching to audio countdown. Final 20 seconds.
There's so much detail. And a lot of it would be reused from previous shows, as we've just discussed.
Yeah, but again, also a lot of it freshly built as well. But they also, they integrate the old stuff really, really well.
Mm.
Some girder bridge bits.
Yeah, whereas this rocket is, I think, entirely new.
Mm. Interesting directorial choice of having him speak the last bit of the robot voice there.
Yes, and interestingly that it's Jeremy Wilkin doing the robot countdown and playing one of the controllers as well. It gives it a slightly creepy vibe on his character there.
Yeah. So, would this be one of the ones they shot upside down?
Ah, I don't think so.
That's very nice. How would they get the kind of rotating steam, smoke coming off the rocket as it launches?
Sometimes they shoot them upside down, and whenever the smoke goes down,
okay,
it obviously
it's actually
cools.
Getting, yeah.
But it may or may not be in that one.
Yeah, gotcha.
And this, I'm guessing this helmet is reused from the Spectrum spacesuits, possibly?
Mm,
it's
probably.
Got that same foam on the inside.
She looks good.
And obviously Japan.
But things are about to go wrong.
Obviously.
Yes. And this is something that I kind of admire in this show. You have bad things happen in Captain Scarlet to innocent people, and it was generally the result of the Mistrons did this as part of their plan. Here, you just have someone is about to die through no fault of their own. It's just pure dumb luck.
I see, yeah.
Something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
And this poor astronaut,
yeah.
I don't think we even know the name.
And everyone in the residential block it crashes into.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just dropped that in for a few
days. Right. Oh, yeah.
For destruct.
And it's this horrible shot of him sat in the cockpit like, well, I'm screwed.
Life against hundreds, including women and children.
That's very dark, isn't it?
That's an order.
Yes, sir.
That's grim.
Yeah. Get all these children out of the astronaut quarters. No.
Not the orphanage.
Yes.
Oh, just, oh dear. There you go. Chuck it in.
Well, could have gone better. Yeah. OCT space station. And the first paragraph of the newspaper there is famously the newspaper from Splashdown.
Ah, fair enough.
Read at the end.
Men up there now have less.
So Shane Weston's office I always appreciate because there's so much wasted space in it.
Exactly, yeah. It's a holdover from Scarlet, yeah.
But like, because that's half the office there. The rest of it's just empty. So when I was doing the manual, I just said that like an office chair, office table comes up from the middle of it.
Yeah.
In some shots, it feels almost like it's an entire floor, just this one office.
It actually is, when you because you compare it to the... It corresponds to the outside of the model.
Yeah.
So it does take up... And Graham Bleefman does a wonderful cutaway of this, where most of WI ends underground.
Right, yeah. Because there is an episode, it might be Project 90, where Shane Weston looks out of the window down into the street, and yeah, you're right, it's the entire first floor.
Yeah.
And it's only a two-story building.
Yeah.
This
will be more than a joyride, Joe. The lives of two men will depend on you. Right. Rendezvous at the professor's cottage in 12 hours.
I'm now constantly looking around for, having seen the Zero X bit there, it's like, what other rockets are hanging around?
And what's this?
Captain Gray up on the top level there.
World Intelligence will supply the astronaut. Just get that rocket ready.
I don't. Okay, Chris, so just fill us in on the plot that we've been missing as we've been talking all over it. What's happening
well,
so far?
Rocket went up and went bang.
Yes.
Where now we need
going?
Another astronaut.
Yeah, why?
Well, because we've got to get up to the space station to save those two guys because they are running out of oxygen.
I see.
Which is a serious piece of mismanagement. They did not bring enough air with them.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Easily done.
And they don't have another qualified astronaut anywhere on the planet, I guess, to be flown in to fly this rocket.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a job for Joe.
And you know what? I give it to them. Like, it could happen. Well, to be fair, you had those astronauts trapped on the ISS for like a year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, there's another shot of the... Oh, that's reversed, that
it
shot.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yes.
Chris, do you remember?
That's the office on the right there.
Ah, right.
Because you can see the interior thing. Sorry, okay. I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, do you remember seeing this episode for the first time?
I don't specifically. No, there's only a few I'd probably remember. Mm. I love this bit.
Oh, yeah. These measurements. Chest 20. It's another example of the great humor in this show.
Waist 22 inches.
22 inches.
Neck 11 inches.
11 inches.
Hip 24 inches.
22.
This is the spacesuit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, sir. Did you say waist 22?
There must be some mistake.
There's no mistake.
But, sir...
What's the, astronaut?
Stop arguing, will you? I want this spacesuit. Give it top priority. If you want to know his height...
I like the way even the phone was shaking. Oh, God damn it.
4.
4 foot 4.
4 foot 4.
David Healy does the comedy great in this show. I don't think he gets enough praise for that.
No, I like the way you get upgraded to like a regular from Scarlet.
Yes.
That's interesting, of course. Although all the comedy has to be done by the voice actor because yeah. the puppet heads give very little away in terms of emotion and comedy.
But they do keep it funny. There's something about these kinds of puppets.
They're deadpan.
They're very deadpan, and that really works. I think the same way I was talking about Scarlet with everyone being super serious all the time. But with these guys, like, you really can just pose them in dynamic poses, but they can't move much beyond that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really all down to, like, as much as the puppeteers, but the editor and the director to make this work. And I would argue, actually, that's why the Super Mario Nation shows are a brilliant tool for learning, teaching direction. Because, like, how can you tell a story when your characters can't do anything?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And make it this good.
Yes.
Sure. But also, I think in this show particularly, the voice actors are doing a lot in terms of, there's several scenes where they're like arguing and they're at cross, you know, crossing each other's lines. Mm. And same with some of the sillier moments as well.
That rocket. And when it's been checked once, do it again.
Yes, sir.
This time we've got to reach that space station.
Yeah, we've got to save Shane Rimmer.
One
of his uncredited cameos.
Did Shane write this one?
I'm not sure.
But I feel kind of tired. Could be the air supply. I'll check it.
Mm.
Do you ever find it weird certain voices coming out of certain puppets? Captain Indigo there.
Sometimes, yeah. It's generally the Spectrum Captains. That's always a bit disconcerting.
Mm. Oh, that's from the opening titles.
Yeah.
Now have a brain pattern enabling you to pilot and navigate the OC-219 supply rocket.
Excellent.
And we got it legitimately. We didn't have to prank anybody or steal it from anybody.
You now have this man's entire knowledge, memories, and all his darkest secrets.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Dad, he's a murderer, actually. I don't know if anyone knew this.
You should see his browsing history.
Yeah, it's best not to think too much about that.
I don't see the point of all this secrecy, Mr. Weston.
Just play it our way, Doctor. All you have to do is make sure that rocket is ready.
Remind me, Chris, is the rocket in this one or any of this base, are they in the tech manual, the Joe 90 tech manual?
Yes, so for the tech manual, because Joe 90 is a relatively small pool of frequent craft, we had a list of things that WIN would have access to.
Yeah,
so
like this truck.
Yep. Well, I mentioned the truck, but I didn't go into it too much. But I do go into the OTC rocket, and I did like a little illustration of it, and it's all staged.
30-minute delay. We'll restart the countdown as soon as possible.
I just hope it doesn't cost two lives.
Well, guilt trip.
Oh yeah, that is the Renegade rocket.
Oh yeah, you're right, because of the zero, which has been sharpied on.
Yes.
Well, leave us.
Well, that leaves us to carry on as usual.
Not quite. I checked that air supply. We've got less than 7 hours oxygen left.
That's 7 hours?
Okay, Scott Tracy.
That's such a Thunderbird's line.
Yes.
How much longer?
We're doing all we can.
It's going to be about 7 hours.
Yeah. But the rocket's ready now. Wow.
Okay.
Please give him some solitaire or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flop shot again,
I do like this aspect of it, like they've sort of established that the rockets are faulty, so like it
and
could go wrong.
There's a mention of like what bad weather or something that they had to hold the countdown for.
This would have been roughly around the same time as Marooned, right?
Yeah, I think Marooned was 68 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is your man?
Our man will be arriving any time now.
Pretty sure this gate's been around.
Yeah.
Right. A security truck has just arrived.
They must have had so much just stuff in the storage. Yeah, oh, you need us to build a rocket base? We've done that.
Did this before.
Yeah.
Yards of that gantry till after blastoff.
But it's also like, you have to reuse stuff, otherwise it just builds up.
Yeah. So I suppose there's some case for there being economics in terms of blowing stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Well, even with the limited stuff that we do, like, my house is getting overrun with models.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to cannibalize them.
Yeah, I've done some Zoom calls and similar with you, where I see so much stuff behind you.
Right, driver, get over to the control building and stay there. Well, there goes the lift. Whoever it is, I wish him luck.
I don't get much of a sense with this episode that this is like a big momentous occasion for Joe. You know, first little boy into space, wow. I think he says earlier on, oh yeah, this could be good. I've always dreamt of going into space. But it feels like it should be a bit more like monumental.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something, because a lot of Joe's lines was just repeated from Sylvia, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, that's what I've heard, yeah.
So I think it's an element of that probably coming through.
Yeah.
Especially if we've got a line reading, I mean, which would then be repeated by the
There's also an element of, like, Joe acts differently when his glasses are on.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't think Joe with glasses on would get excited, but it'd be nice to have that that difference.
Try to hang on.
And again, you mentioned Captain Indigo. Again, this is one of the reasons why he's been cast in this role, because he needs to be able to blink.
Oh,
and he's got the Macy head from Big Ben Strikes Again that was one of the few rep puppets that had the blinking head.
Meanwhile, the other guy's just like,
oh, yeah, I don't have Patrick a blinking
Captain
head.
Captain Picard. No. Face palm. I'm just enjoying, I never really had so many sky backgrounds for every occasion.
Yeah. I have a feeling, though, that some of these shots were darkened for the Blu-ray release, possibly, on the network.
Fueling complete. Closing vents.
It all does look very nice.
See, that smoke's going upwards, so I don't know if it's like dry ice or if they are just shooting it upside down.
All tracker stations positive. Computer reports space station OP positive for rendezvous. Set ignition system. Switch to audio countdown.
20. I love a good computer voice on these shows.
And I'm assuming this voice is done by the same mechanism that they might have done Sid with.
Yeah.
Because I've always felt, despite him never being credited for it, that Jeremy Wilkin was also the voice of Sid.
Mm.
And there is a credit on Lunaville 7 for the place that did the technology that provided Sid's voice.
Mm.
Maybe they sent him off to the same place.
Possibly.
If only Jamie were here to see this.
He'd love it.
He's really kicking himself that he couldn't be here today.
Young Joe got to go to space.
Yeah.
It's good.
She's gonna make it.
Big Apollo 13 vibes.
Yeah.
But if this is being shown as episode 2, I think we kind of... It's taken us red that he's going to make it.
Yeah.
They're not going to kill off their title character in the second episode.
Well, they could do that and say, well, that was a bad idea. We shouldn't try that again. Yeah.
Joe 91. Here we go.
Yeah.
You go back to the orphanage, man. Get another kid. Yeah.
Yeah, see, now you've got the first capsule. I really like those little like spoilers it has.
Yeah.
50 degrees. Pressure 38.6. All primary circuits positive.
It sounds like a girl.
Get on with it.
Space. Reading you loud and clear. We'll give resets for IGS in 3 minutes.
There's no women in this episode, is there?
No. You can say that about three quarters of the series, I think. Yeah.
I know the Andersons had a lot less to do with Joe 90 in terms of production, but I do wonder if Sylvia had been around a bit more.
Yeah. It's also occurred to me that were it not for that one faulty rocket, Joe would not be needed at all, and the other guy could have handled it quite well. There's nothing really here that requires his special skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, it's because the backup pilot was injured in the
crash.
Yeah.
And they've only got 7 hours.
Yeah, and one rocket. So where did this rank for you as a kid, watching it alongside the other Anderson shows?
So Joe 90 as a kid, it was kind of to the middle, because I think as a kid, it was like, oh, I want to see Thunderbirds, I want to see SPVs, I want to see it's like Stingray do battle and stuff. It's only really whenever I did the documentary for the network Blu-ray then the manual, it sort of hits you as an adult, like how good this is. Mm. And it's interesting that you could watch an episode of Mission Impossible and then an episode of Joe 90, and the Joe 90 episode is darker in some instances.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no talking down to the audience whatsoever. Yeah.
The men have probably passed out through lack of oxygen.
Yeah, that is strange. It stars a kid, and yet it's probably second only to Scarlet in terms of darkness and violence.
Well, I think in terms of human impact, in many ways, like, it could be darker.
Yeah.
Like the
one tiny error of
torture stuff and the...
Oh, yeah, the execution scene. Yeah.
And Coletti getting blown into smithereens.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, the aerial. Which feels like a design flaw.
Yeah. Just put it on the other side. And that's a sound effect I recognise going back to like XL5. And I'm guessing this would be something Barry Gray created.
Not successfully.
Yay. As rescues go, it's pretty low key because he never even meets them.
But also, I guess, like, this isn't Thunderbirds. Like, Joe 90 is a far less, like, fantastical universe.
Yeah.
Like, bearing in mind that they're sort of going on a journey to the Secret Service.
Yes.
Where, like, they wouldn't go to space at all.
Well, maybe if they'd done a few more, yeah.
I could have seen Father Unwin in space.
Yeah.
Supply module. It would have been a bit like Moonraker, I think.
Like, has just Secret Service jumped the shark? Never.
Have damaged homing aerial. Switching to standby procedure. Out.
Doesn't that mean... It means your astronaut will have to navigate...
Damage the homing aerial. I see, so that wasn't a production error that this aerial snagged or twanged. That was actually I see.
Well, that's a production fault with the capsule, presumably.
Yes.
Didn't twig. Or pilot error.
Yeah, that's always something I wish they had delved into a bit more, because you get those episodes where you have imperfect brain patterns that kind of give them some trouble.
Yeah.
Like, Joe 90 gets the brain pattern of a pilot that actually has a fear of landing.
Right.
Or they accidentally give him the brain pattern of a double agent. And that's really good. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, and he goes running off to Copenhagen. like an astronaut who thinks, well, I'm the best and, everyone's beneath me. Why should I save them? Yeah.
Re-entry angle's still wrong. He must correct it.
I guess there's only so far you can take that with the central character being a kid.
Yeah. It'd be interesting if you rebooted Joe 90 or even like as an audio series or something, but made him 19.
Yeah. Or just do what Viz did and make him 90 years old and kill him off.
Make it.
Yeah, it's... obviously I know with every episode, Joe's going to make it okay. But with this episode in particular, I never feel for a moment that he's in any jeopardy.
No, really. That's right.
It's a fairly simple mission for him.
Yes.
I think it's one of those things where, because it's space, like, they're not using the kind of the key Barry Gray stuff. They're sticking to his more space kind of stuff. Whereas if it's like Colonel McLean, think of that bit at the end where they're like racing down the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Proper or even the end of Double Agent stuff. Where he loses his glasses and has to do the gunfight without them. Like, that stuff is a bit better.
Yeah, there's a lot of standing around in this. Yay!
Barry Gray, you always understand the assignment.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning, it still seemed like a dream. All I can say is thanks.
No need for that. It's what we're here for, Doctor.
You explained that because of security, I can't meet the astronaut. but everyone on the base reckons it was just about the greatest display of astronautics we've ever seen.
Ready to go.
Well, he broke the aerial.
Yeah, but apart from that.
Apart from that.
This is Professor McLean's son, Joe. Oh, would Joe like to look around the base? I know most boys are interested in rockets.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. But don't get too technical, Doctor. He's only 9.
Wow.
Wink.
But I do like that kind of stuff, even if that's the entire show hinges on the one joke.
That's nice.
It's similar to the Captain Scarlet. How did you escape from that factory that exploded that was full of petrol? Well, I'm indestructible.
Yeah.
I see.
So, Chris Thompson, where does that rank for you amongst the Joe 90 series?
Honestly, middle to low. From a technical point of view, it's great, but I think as we pointed out, like, it's not as, like, there's a lot more drama and tenseness. This is kind of like the pit of peril of Joe 90 episodes, because it sort of happens, like, the mission is executed with reasonable.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I mean, as a fan of the show, I think, oh, Joe 90 in space!
Yes.
And it does, yeah, it's not really, like, is it? Captain Scarlet in space, those episodes are great.
Yeah.
I have nostalgia for this one, as I do for all Joe 90, but particularly with this, I remember seeing it for the first time. It's the first episode I ever saw. I love it on that level, but relative to other Joe 90s, middle to low is about right.
And where can we find Joe 90 at the moment, Chris?
Well, he's on DVD, he's on Blu-ray, and you can find him on ITVX and probably other streaming services around the world.
And Chris Thompson, do you know if the technical manual is still available?
It is.
Ah.
So it's available on the Gerry Anderson store.
Brilliant.
I think the special edition sold out instantly, but there's still copies of the Joe 90 manual. It's probably one of the favourite ones I've put together, just because of the diversity of all the stuff we did for it. And also Amazing 15 did a wonderful kind of like school textbook kind of effect on it. So it's worth a look.
Lovely. Thank you. And thank you for joining us, Chris Thompson.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Let's get started. Let's go.
Spectrum is green.
That was an Anderson Entertainment production.